Hey everybody, good afternoon, good morning everybody, it's Larry Jacob on the 22nd of July 2021. Thanks for being with us here today on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. All right, let me shut down this music for you. We got Mr. Bill Taylor, a new guest, who's the Outreach and Partnership Development Specialist Leader, Vice President, over at NAF, the National Academy Foundation. This is a STEM Careers Coalition show from Discovery Education. Marla Wilson, our good friend, has not called in yet. I hope she's okay. I'll get in touch with her as we start to do the show. We got Bill here, and we're going to talk about preparing students for the future of work, a show we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. ace-ed.org, our consortium for equity in education. We'd love you to join with us over there. We'd love you to read our magazine, Equity and Access, our online journal over there. You'll love it. All our podcasts are archived over there, including this one, when we are done. So please go over to ace-ed.org, see what we do. I think you'll be impressed, and you'll join with us, I hope. And on that note, I'll try to get in touch with Marla, but in the meantime, Bill, how you doing? It's Larry here.
Larry, it's great to be with you. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you here. Where are you calling from? Where's 919?
I'm calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
I remember when Raleigh just used to be a cigarette. That was a city.
Remember? It's a very, very. It's one of the fastest growing cities in the country.
I know, it's a wonderful town. I had somebody on from Raleigh yesterday. I was thinking, I'm getting so old, I'm probably the last person who remembers Sir Walter Raleigh cigarettes. Okay,
That's right. They were horrible. Well,
they were horrible. I don't even smoke anymore. But it was just a horrible cigarette.
You got to come back and visit us, Larry. It's the city has really moved, transitioned.
Oh, yeah.
Tobacco's still around, but it's really a heavy biotech and technology hub. It's the Silicon Valley of the South. That's right. World class universities here and great education systems around.
And Bill, I know, I'm going to try to get in touch with Marla. I think she might have gotten mixed up on the time of the show. Oh, did you know anything?
No problem.
She going to join us today?
That was my understanding.
That was mine too. So something's going on. We'll find out. But
okay.
I love her. She's my good buddy. So it's okay. We can go on. NAF. Okay, is the National Academy Foundation. Okay, but I want you to tell us about that because I was looking on the website and. Well, I can tell you what I understand. It's going to be a lot easier if you just tell us. Go ahead. Go.
Sure. Yeah. So NAF, as you said, formerly known as the National Academy Foundation, but kind of like BMW and KFC now. We're just the acronym. Makes it a lot
easier.
But we're a national network of education, business, and community leaders, who work together to ensure that high school students, leave school, college, career, and what we call future ready. Right, with a set of skills that prepare them for life-sustaining careers. And we've been doing that work since the 1980, and so we've been around over 40 years, and we've been partnering with a lot of high-need communities to improve outcomes for students, by implementing what we call academies, right? And career academies are the easiest way to think about that, Larry, is they're small learning communities within existing high schools, right? So we really take the elective courses, English, math, science, social studies, and all that. We put that together inside a small learning community, and that's when an academy is.
Go ahead. Keep going. You've been doing this for how long? And you work with schools, districts. Talk about it. This is cool. I don't know anything about you guys, so tell me. Yeah, this is great.
Well, we're a well-kept secret, and we're hoping to change that. But, yeah, so our education design, is really set up to ignite students' passion for learning. Right, which is what's so exciting about our new partnership with Discovery Education, because they've got a long track, aren't they? They've got such a great track record with that. So we think by combining our efforts, we're really going to change the educational landscape, particularly in high schools, which is where our big focus is. But we're going, our whole goal is to shape America's future workforce, right? By transforming that learning environment to include, STEM-infused, industry-specific curriculum, right? And with a real focus on work-based learning experiences, including paid internships. And I think that's one of the real differentiators around what NAF does versus other programs that you might hear about. NAF is about really getting young people focused on why academic learning is so important, right? So we really answer that question, why do I need to know this stuff, right? Because we place that learning in a work-based learning context and help connect what students are learning in the classroom to the real world of work. We've grown from that one academy, you know, of finance that we started back in John Dewey High School in New York City in the early 80s to now we've got over what just last year. So we started in finance, but just last year we've got we're serving over 117,000 students in over 600 academies across four states, plus the D.C., D.C., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. So we're a huge network now. We focus on finance, hospitality and tourism, information technology, engineering, and health sciences. So you can see it's a wide array of different industry sectors. And, 99% of our seniors, we're proud to report, graduated, with 87% of those going on to some form of post-secondary success.
Is it for every high school? Is it for rural? Is it for urban? How's the South break it down like that?
That's a great question.
And by the way, I don't know whether you heard me say it at the beginning. Yeah. We're all about equity and access here. And I think what you guys do is, right along those same lines. And I want to really dig into this with you. So go ahead. How's it working in terms of who you work with, et cetera? Go ahead, Bill.
Yep. So across that vast network over those 600 academies I talked about in 34 states, you'll find academies in every setting, Larry. So you'll find we've got, given the agenda you just talked about, our main focus on equity and inclusion serving students most working with communities that are most in need. A lot of our academies do exist in urban centers, so we've got a big presence in Dallas and in Miami and in Charlotte and in New York City. But we're also in, Idaho, right? And we're in the Porterville, California, right? In the heart of the agricultural district, in some very rural places. So the idea here is that NAF academies can thrive and can have an impact no matter where they're located, whether they're in a rural community, whether they're in an urban center. The idea of making learning relevant by connecting business leaders with educators is a powerful concept that can exist in any environment. Uh-oh, Larry, did I lose you? Hello?
Bill?
Wait, maybe I'm on mute. I was on mute. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Marla, are you there?
I am here. How are you this morning?
Fine, my dear. Right, we're having a great time. Go ahead, Bill.
I knew you would.
Yeah, I was just explaining to Larry a little bit about NAF and our background and who we are and what we do, and we were just talking about, where NAF academies exist. Do they, do they thrive in rural settings or urban settings, and of course the answer to that question. We thrive everywhere, because the idea of connecting high quality education and academic learning to business partners and connecting work based learning is something that's relevant in every setting.
And Marla, I didn't know anything about NAF, the National Academy Foundation. I'm so glad you brought Bill on,
And this is
fascinating to me. And let me just introduce you real quick, although you've been on many times with me. My buddy Marlon Wilson is the executive director of the STEM Careers Coalition from Discovery Education, which Bill mentioned just a few minutes ago. Okay, and you feeling okay, my friend Marla?
I am doing quite well. Thank you so much for asking.
Well, I'm always concerned about you, my dear. You know that. We had to postpone the show because you didn't feel good last week, and I am thrilled that you are back. You are back to your usual dynamic self, if I may. Okay.
Well, thank you, Marla. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I mean it sincerely. Go ahead. Speak.
I'm so glad we're having this conversation, that you gentlemen were able to kind of move some things around, because I definitely wanted to be a part of this. Bill and the NAF team have been incredible partners with the STEM Careers Coalition. So I'm delighted that Larry, we're able to have him on today to really talk about some of this exciting work that NAF has been doing for quite some time and how we're collaborating as of late. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and Bill, let me get back to you. What does an academy look like at a school? Is it an after-school activity, or is it combined with science class or homeroom or whatever? Yeah. What does it look like when you join in with a school? Bill.
That's a great question. Yeah, great question, Larry. And so I think if I'll take you on a journey here. So if you're – imagine – and Matt, take you back to the past. If you imagine you're a ninth grader and you're walking onto the campus of a high school for
the first
time.
You're going way to the past, my friend. You have no idea how far back in the past you're going, okay? You have no idea. We're going, ladies and gentlemen, colonial times with Bill Taylor. Go ahead. But I was in ninth grade.
Imagine you walking up to the high school for the first time, and you walk in, and as a ninth grader, and inside your school, you would have a NAF Academy, right? So it would be the way that you would experience high school, starting in the ninth grade. And your English, your science, your math, your social studies teacher, as well as, let's say, it's an Academy of Information Technology, right? So as well as your computer design, right, and or your CAD, you know, or networking and programming teacher would be involved, right, as well. And so all of those teachers would be, you know, kind of grouped together as academy teachers, and you, as well as your peers who are a part of the academy, would all travel in classes together, you know, with those same group of teachers. And that's kind of how you would experience high school.
Well, then how do you train, if I may, that group of teachers who are, let's say, at the ABC High School? Okay, and
that's
now suddenly
they're
working with the academy. So those teachers have a select group of kids. So administration, as well as those teachers, have to understand your goals. Talk about how that works.
Yep.
This is interesting, Bill.
It was probably about 18 years ago now, because I've been with NAF for 21 years. So I think it was around 18, 19 years ago. We created what we called the Year of Planning program, right? And the Year of Planning was all about how do you start a NAF Academy? This was a big question back then, right? How do you launch Academy successfully and prepare, just to your point, Larry, how do you prepare teachers? How do you prepare school leadership? How do you prepare business partners to do an academy successfully? Through the Year of Planning program, and that's where it gets its name, right? Because it took about a year. And some folks are, you know, now can do that in a little less time because they're more familiar with the concepts.
Sure.
But the whole idea is that folks would develop a strategic plan around launching an academy that's focused on academy structure. You know, what's the day going to look like? You know, how do we organize the program of study? What is our curriculum and the projects that are, you know, embedded in that? Because that's a big part of what NAF provides. So our team, our network development team, works with folks as they're going through this year of planning.
Wow.
And that year of planning group locally has teachers on it, usually has members of the school leadership team, you know, the principal and or his or her designee. You know, oftentimes now we have folks from the district office as a part of those planning teams, and we have business partners from the community. It's usually a business champion there to represent the interests of the business community, who are going to be the ones who really provide that work-based learning experience that is so core to the success of what an academy is. And so all those folks work together. They work on academy structure. They work on the curriculum. They work on the work-based learning plan, you know, so how we're going to expose young people to, you know, everything. And we frame. And so NAF provides a lot of the tools and resources that support that plan, right? So we help now because we've learned a lot over the last 40 years about what it takes to run academy successfully. So that's what we are able to help provide folks locally, is that, you know, a lot of tools and resources and expertise around that. And we have our team does that really well. And so
how do you select the kids? How do you select the kids? And in a given high school, let's say a high school of 2,000 kids, how many kids typically would be academy kids, and how are those kids selected or whatever, accepted,
so
however you want to say that?
That's a really great question, Larry, and so we place a high emphasis, back to our point earlier about diversity, equity, and inclusion. We are adamant that our academies are open enrollment, right? That this is about interest, right? So we want kids who are ideally interested in that particular career theme and want to learn more about it. And so it's interest. And so there's open enrollment, ideally, it's about 100 students per grade level. So in a school of the size that you mentioned, there's room for multiple academies inside a school like that. And in many cases, we actually have schools that are what we call wall-to-wall academies. So let me give you an example of that. So in Hialeah High School in Miami, Florida, a school around a little bigger, actually, than, because they have some huge high schools down there in South Florida.
Yes,
they have some really big high schools.
Yes, they do. And I think Hialeah, I think I've actually been in that school. I think it's a good-sized school.
It's a really good, it's a little closer to 5,000, I think, all total. But on that campus, there is what we call wall-to-wall academies. So all five of NAF-themed academies are on that campus: finance, hospitality, IT, engineering, and health sciences. So if you're going to go to Hialeah, you are going to one of those NAF academies. And they're all open enrollment. And there's, roughly around 100 students per grade level. So each academy is roughly, give or take, 400 students. That's kind of the ballpark average.
Wow. This is incredible. And they would do that 9 through 12. The academy
that's
would
correct.
Exist grades 9 through 12.
That's right. And 9 through 12, and then as a part of their experience, there's work-based learning, as I mentioned. So starting in the ninth grade, we frame that in kind of three developmental stages, right? So there's awareness, then exploration, and then preparation. So in awareness, where I always say that's like, this is where we're helping to take the blinders off for a lot of young people, right? How do we help them really understand, for example, engineering, right? If they're in an engineering academy, what do engineers do? Right? Do they understand that there are different types of engineers? So we'll bring engineers in for class visits, for example, right? So coming into classrooms and talking about the work they do. So that's kind of in the awareness phase. Then we get the exploration phase. Okay, so now once you've met an engineer who's come to your classroom, now we're going to get you out on a job shadow, Larry, and we're going to have you actually see what an engineer does for the day, right? And then we move on from the exploration phases into the preparation phase, where we're working on things like resume writing, right? Mock interviews, and all the things that prepare you ultimately for a paid internship experience. Because that, again, is what really all of our alums and our business partners talk about, the power and the impact of what an internship can do, because it really cements and makes real, right, the all that learning, as we talked about earlier, in a context, comes to fruition in an internship. Because students can really see the application of what they've learned working on work of value to an employer, and they're getting compensated for that. They really understand what the world of work is all about and what they need to do, what kind of skills they need to have to be successful.
And what you're saying is so important, and I've had this discussion with Marla, and other people. We can say to kids, I'm just going to say from a lower socioeconomic situation, we can say to kids, you're smart. Why don't you become an engineer?
Right.
Okay? And they don't even
know
what the hell an engineer is. Okay?
Exactly.
Nor do they know
what
working in an office would be like. Nor do they know what they're even designing, because their world is not as large as we want it to be at that stage of the game. All right?
That's exactly
right. And to be able to bring these experiences, okay, and allow them to experience the experience, if I may be redundant for a second, is just so incredibly important, because we have got to take these kids who do not have the background that they need to understand how important they will be as they get older. I mean, it's just so simple. How did you find this guy, Marla? Bill Taylor. How'd you find him? Right?
I tell you, we.
I'm the lucky one.
You are Bill. Great, lucky.
You all are the best. But no, I mean, honestly, you know, Bill is an incredible human, and the work that he's been doing with NAF for quite so many years is so critical. And we have, I mean, you know, an incredible strategic alliance team where they just really go out and foster, you know, these critical conversations with organizations and companies so that we can create a coalition effort around, you know, reaching students of color, reaching female students and those in systematically disadvantaged areas. And so, I mean, it was definitely an incredible connection with NAF and the work that they're doing because, one, we want to make sure that we are making connections with students even, I mean, we're focused on K through 12, but we also know that as we're looking at the STEM journey, that our older students who are upperclassmen in high school really need some help navigating around their post-secondary decisions. And so you all mentioned that,
that's right.
You know, if they that's lack right. exposure and resources, then what happens? Because they don't lack talent and they
that's
don't
right.
really lack interest. They just need the right support system and infrastructure to be able to navigate them to the right places so that they can truly be a part of this STEM journey in a leadership capacity is what my desire is not to look at just students getting jobs, but students having careers where they feel like they're making an impact and they're a part of, you know, the solution. One thing I do say, Larry, a lot of the times is that what we can't miss is that, and I call these students, and I think you've heard me say this before, you know, our lost Einsteins, because
that's
they
right.
are talented, bright, yes, curious, problem-solving
that's right.
individuals. And the key thing is that they are actually living within most of these significant problems that are solved with STEM. So why not them be a part of the, you know, the professional society of STEM folks who are actually working in the field, solving problems, and also being able to have a fulfilling career, right, that makes them more than just part of the, you know, working class or working poor class, but, you know, changing the trajectory of the future of these students so that they are very well-rounded individuals. And let's be clear that, you know, being able to be financially secure really does help with being a well-rounded, positive contributing citizen. And so, yeah, so,
but,
there's another
side to what you do. There's another side. And I just congratulate both of you so much on this. You know, if not only are we losing these kids' talents if we don't do something and get them into, you know, engineering, biology, whatever the case may be, all right? But if we don't do that, we hurt ourselves. Because then these students, these kids, do not have a good career. It not only hurts them, then what are they going to do? Okay? And we wind up, if I may, you know, with a lot of social work and welfare and all that, taking care of people. All right? But they can take care of themselves and we take the time to train them properly. It's a, you know, it's a win-win all the way around. I don't know how else to say
You're making such an important point, Larry, if I could, and to say that, you know, there's a work of groups like former Governor Bob Wise and the Alliance for Excellence in Education.
Well, I know Bob
if you know that website, they've done a lot of great work on economic and social impact factors are for students not achieving a high school diploma, right? So, and to your point, so what is the impact on the social safety net for young people who you know are not achieving life sustaining you know careers and wages, and you know what is the impact you know that we're all facing economically? So even if you're not in this for all the right altruistic reasons, right, and all the feel good reasons for why this matters, if you look at it from a dollars and cents perspective, our economy is being impacted because we're leaving millions of people on the sidelines if we don't do this work. And so that is why.
And how many jobs go unfilled? How many jobs go unfilled?
That's right. So There's a huge disconnect, absolutely, Larry, and I hear that from employers because we work a lot with employers, as does Marla with the STEM Careers Coalition, which is why we're so excited about this partnership, by the way, because we've got forward-thinking employers who recognize this. They're going, hey, look, we're having a hard time finding, highly qualified entry-level talent, but they recognize that, that talent is there. There's just a disconnect. And so they with the STEM Careers Coalition, I can't tell you how exciting it is to work with employer partners who realize this and who aren't just about talking about it, Larry, but they're rolling up their sleeves and they're really engaging in doing the hard work of what we talked about earlier in terms of work-based learning, coming inside the classroom, giving of their time, making internships a reality. And the more that we can do that, the more that we can impact this problem.
I mean, what you're saying, and I have said this for a while, it's always hard to get budget for education. But then, no offense to Jeff Bezos, but he had enough money to send himself into outer space. Okay? And that's nice. That's cool. That's fun. All right? I agree. That is fun. Right. All right? But my point is Amazon, Jeff, has so much money, and the corporations – have to pick up on K-12 education where the school districts can't afford to do that. All right?
That's right.
Simple. And I'm
but they
so
have to understand
why what Marla does. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, Bill,
yeah
go.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Larry, but I just think your point. We really have to help the Jeff Bezos of the world and other business leaders understand the self-interest, right, that is available there, right? That this is about impacting your bottom line, your P&L will grow, your company, and not agreeing deferred. We're not talking wait 10 years. We're talking about right now. We've got, Larry, students in our academies who have patents. Right, who have secured patents based on the innovations and the work that they've done.
That's great. Isn't that amazing?
To Marla's point, we've got a lot of talent. It's about connecting that talent to opportunity and support.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's what this is about, and helping Jeff and other business leaders see that. And so that the very talent that they're searching for to diversify their organizations and to expand their organizations is available. They just need to roll up their sleeves and get about building the hard work that we're talking about.
Bill, how many school districts or schools, however you want to answer that, are you guys working with at NAF?
A little over 300. A little over 300.
Oh, we got to get you guys really, really more than that. I mean, we got to get you more than
that.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big part of what we're hoping to accomplish too, with you and with Marla and the STEM Coalition.
Oh, you will.
I think that's
question.
Part of our work right now. We've been doing a lot of work kind of down in the trenches quietly for the last 40 years, but now it's time to be a little more vocal, to put a little bit more of a spotlight
on. It's time to get
on.
You out of your mom and dad's basement as a 40-year-old. And move you into your own apartment. Okay?
That's what they call failure to launch.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, it's the good work you do is so important. And the kids you are helping are so – it's just so important. It's just such a good mix, okay, with what Marla's doing as well every day at the – STEM Careers Coalition. Mark, let me ask you, working with Bill, okay, and NAF, how do you see all this shaking out? How are you going to put all this together in your STEM Careers Coalition?
Well, that's
the two
a good
of you
question.
Work together.
So,
thanks, pal.
Yeah, that's a great question. Bill's partnership comes in genuinely in a very, very authentic and very organic time. Right now we're embarking on our second year, full year of the STEM Careers Coalition. And so as we have created over about 200 resources on our website, which is phenomenal considering the number of industries that we've brought into the coalition, we've really built a strong infrastructure.
Who's the executive director of that coalition doing such a good job? Who
there's,
is that person?
There's some lady, I don't know her name, by the name of Marla, but she works with an incredible group of people, some really smart and talented people within Discovery Education that just work to create curriculum, you know, that curriculum writing, video production. I mean, we literally have an Emmy Award-winning producer that creates a lot of the content that we film with our partners. But with that being said, I mean, we've built the infrastructure. So now it's like it's time to get truly interactive, right? Like turn this entire coalition into a verb. And that's where NAP comes in. So now we are looking at creating these modules where students can go in and kind of play around with them and tinker with them and say, okay, I'm interested in water, I'm interested in air, I'm interested in how that connects to engineering, and then let that compute some options for them to start looking at when it comes to careers. But then also, too, what NAP is bringing to the table is real live mentorship opportunities with students.
Yeah, exactly.
Where our current professionals can connect with our future professionals. And that's what I'm super excited about. And a lot of our districts are just like waiting with anticipation to be able to connect their students in these mentorship opportunities. So that is like the critical piece that we're working with NAP on right now. They have a myriad of options when it comes to being able to, you know, get this work off the ground. So we're excited to be able to tap into the NAF network and their expertise around, you know, just really making those connections with students through the NAF academies, et cetera, and just them being able to share a wealth of knowledge and how we do that. So we can bring that to the coalition and partner together to reach students in that very special way. So I'm super excited about the fall and then, of course, the upcoming spring school year as we're kind of getting back to some kind of normal.
Yeah.
We'll have an opportunity to do this in person and virtually. So, that's how we're starting to work.
And that is a key thing. Okay, the world is coming back to, I hope, better than it was before, a better normal, a new normal, if I may.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
and there's some silver linings that have happened, Larry, to your point, that you've learned this past year.
I keep saying that.
You know, going, right? Going
I don't want to make light of the pandemic. 600,000 people died. A lot of families were destroyed. But the damn thing had a silver lining, okay? And
that's
that
right.
It forced
that's
us
that's
to
right.
look at ourselves, okay, and hopefully make changes for the future. Okay, and
that's
spread across the board for everybody, but it stunk. Okay, it's a terrible thing. So we got to make lemonade out of lemons, and you guys are on
that's
the forefront
right.
of that. I hope we are too. I mean, we just gotta make it happen. Bill, we're gonna do more together. Okay, I really love what you're doing. Okay, it's really cool stuff.
Thank you.
Okay,
I look forward to that. Absolutely.
Well, we'll talk. Okay, it's really just. It's fascinating to me, and I apologize for not knowing more about you before we started this. Thank you for getting all in.
You're not the first, Larry, but hopefully you're one of the remaining few. After today's session, maybe a lot more people are going to know about who we are and what we're doing. But,
I certainly
and
hope
I know
so.
Our
we're going to help you do that. It's really good stuff.
I appreciate that. And our partnership with Discovery is going to make that happen as well. I mean, it's the work that they do is just world-class. World-class, and when you have world-class friends and partners, there's a lot that you can accomplish together. So we're confident of that.
Yeah. It's hey, Marla, when all of this is all the pandemic stuff is behind us, is all the members of the Careers Coalition ever going to get together in one room? Is that a plan? Is that a plan for the future?
Oh, absolutely. We started out doing kind of quarterly convening, and we were kind of going to everyone's office. So it was really fun, right? It was a fun mapping. We were going to be all over the country going to our partners' headquarters so that partners can get more acquainted with the business. That, you know, each other are entrenched in on a daily basis. So we're going to get back to that. We're excited that, you know, as we get through this pandemic, you know, prayerfully soon, that we can get back to being face-to-face and being able to, you know, go to NAP headquarters and see how they do what they do, have a meeting, convene on, you know, the great work that we're doing together and just move that around throughout the other partner sites. But, that is the intent,
great.
And we are looking forward to it,
It's going to be great when it happens. Invite me along, Marla. Okay, if that ever happens.
You are absolutely welcome. Maybe we can do like a show, right? A remote show.
Oh, absolutely.
At the NAP headquarters during a
September
close-up and convening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's put that on the calendar. Yes.
You got it.
A
okay.
live remote. That's what they call it. Yeah.
This is good. I can talk to you guys for hours. We got to go. I'm glad you joined in, Marla. Okay. I'll talk to you later today. Find out what's going on with you and all that sort of stuff. Thanks for being here, my dear. Okay. I love
Thank
it. And Bill,
you.
We'll talk
Thank
again
you.
Soon. Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
sir, Larry.
Great.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it. Marla, it's great as always to talk with you.
Thanks,
Thank
guys.
You, gentlemen.
I'll talk to you both
it's
soon.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go over this again. Bill Taylor is the VP of Outreach and Partnership Development at NAF, which is NAF.org, the National Academy Foundation. And my pal Marla is at Discovery. She is the executive director of their STEM Careers Coalition, and she does a whale of a job. Okay, so you get involved in that as well. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. I thank you all for listening. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org. Go over there, see what we do. You'll like it. Join with us. Thanks for listening.